Hello and welcome to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us this morning here in the city as we listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. Interesting interviews on tap for the program today. First off, we're going to journey over to the Kansas side. The Johnson County Barn Players have been around in Johnson County for around 60 years. That era may be coming to a close soon. We may touch on that a little while later on, but they still have a show going on down on Mart Way. It's called Sister Act. Maybe you've seen the movie. Whoopi Goldberg starred as a we won't give that away. We'll get into it. Guy Gardner is with us. He is the director and choreographer. Does a lot of musicals, Guy, you have over the years. Where all have you done musical theater?
I've worked all over the area. I've done shows for the Fringe Festival, Shawnee Mission Theater in the Park. I've worked at the White Theater at the Jewish Community Center, the Barn Players. I started out in Leavenworth with the River City Community Players way back when I was a little tyke. Anywhere that'll hire me.
Standing, they closed the Lone Star Saloon or whatever it was called down there by the river. High Noon Saloon, that's what it was.
Oh, yeah, it's now, High Noon Saloon closed. It's now Grinders Pizza.
And I know that because they did Murder Mysteries there. Were you ever a part of that?
No, but I went to one once. Okay. So, yeah, okay. I got you now. High Noon Saloon, that hit it.
That's right.
That reminded my stomach of a few times. So.
Allison Jones is with us as well. She plays the role of Dolores Van Cartier.
That's it.
And she also plays a nun. And
all the same.
We'll let her explain that during the course of the show today. But Guy is directing a musical again. I guess, do you prefer musicals over regular plays?
I do. I think I've come to be known to enjoy a lot of fluff, and musicals are usually have a lot of fluff in them, so I love them. I love music. That's how I started in all performing arts. Is a very weird thing to know about me, but I started in band, and I learned almost every instrument. I had a tuba at home, and a flute at home, and a saxophone at home, and somehow that all transferred into theater, and now I do no instrumental music, and I only do theater. So
I see. Well, I have to ask the question now. Did you go to band camp?
I sure did. Yep. Every year from sixth grade until college. Yeah.
Okay. I saw Allison moving her lips.
Yes. I went to band camp as well. Yes, I'm a flautist.
We hear stories about band camp all the time. We hear stories. But Guy is directing now. Sister Act. Let's go ahead back and explore the storyline. It's kind of simple. You made a comparison earlier. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah. So the story is essentially the same as the movie. We've got Dolores Van Cartier, who's a lounge singer, and she wants to be more than she is. She wants to grow and change and essentially on her end be famous, and just happens to see a murder from her boyfriend. And so in a witness protection program style event, she gets put into a convent and is put into the convent hidden as Sister Mary Clarence. And then we meet the nuns of the church and Mother Superior, who ends up having the most interaction with Dolores, and Dolores will do things that she doesn't agree with, and in the end we find that they both were just trying for the same thing. They were both trying to explore life in different ways, and they end up having a lot of similarities that they never would have known, and it's just leading people down the right path. And Mother Superior does that with faith, and Dolores ends up doing that with the nuns with music. So it's that, you know, coming of age story of a lounge singer seeing a murder and going to a convent. Don't you see that all the time?
Happens to everybody.
As it happens with everyone.
You made a comparison earlier. You said there were elements that were similar to Legally Blonde.
Yeah, in the vein of it's a musical based off of a movie about a strong woman that gets broken down and has to come to and rise to the occasion and ends up with enemies that become lifelong friends. And just like Elle at the end ends up with good friends with Vivian at the end, you know, I'm not really spoiling anything. No. Most everyone's seen the movie. Dolores ends up friends with Mother Superior. So there's a lot of similarities and then obviously some very stark differences.
The comparison that immediately popped into my head was Some Like It Hot. Have you ever seen that one?
Yeah,
absolutely. And Tony Curtis. And
yeah.
They witnessed a murder. They hid in drag with a band.
Exactly. As you do.
Does Hollywood have any...
It's either a nun or drag.
Does Hollywood have any original stories anymore?
I think we all can agree that no. But they're doing a great job retelling some of the old ones, so I'm okay with that.
Well, you cast Allison Jones here as the role of Dolores Van Cartier, and also, not because she wanted to, Sister Mary Clarence in the role. She witnesses the murder, and she's hiding out as a nun. Mm-hmm. You have a musical background, Allison?
I do. So, I mean, I did vocal music throughout high school and through college. And even now, I still study privately with, shout out to Roberta Gumbel, a Kansas City soprano. But yes, I've always been a part of music, whether it's band or choir. And then theater, just it rounded everything out, the trifecta. So.
Yeah, you were last seen out at Summit Theater in Sondheim on Sondheim.
Yes, it was great. It was directed by Rick Bumgarter, and it was a really cool ensemble experience. That was a lot of music-heavy things, and this show is music and dance and acting and Guy Gardner.
Is she good at all of these things equally?
She is phenomenal at all of these things equally. And she will look at you and say, I am not. And I will look right back at her and say, she absolutely is. She's worked very hard and been that leading lady that you need in every show. And I've been so very lucky every show I've done at the Barn that someone just comes, someone that I have no idea of, comes and shows up and is the leading person the past, honestly, every show I've done at the Barn. And so after the callbacks, you know, we looked at Allison and said, she is everything that we need. And then now that I know her, she's really not Dolores in any way, shape, or form, but she acts her perfectly. So I'm really, really excited for people to see Allison perform this role, because they're going to want to see her in many other things, and they will see her in many other things. So, yeah.
Did you hear about this role and really want to do it, Allison?
Well, when this year for me, I kind of got back into theater, and I remember seeing this on, I was just asking friends, you know, what are some really great community theaters? And a lot of people spoke very highly of The Barn. And then I saw Sister Act, and then I just kind of asked people around. They were like, oh, Guy's doing that show? And I was like, I don't know that guy. And they're like, he's a really awesome guy. And I was like, well, that's really cool. And so I've for months wanted to audition for the show. I didn't necessarily want to audition for the part. And so then a couple weeks prior to auditions, I was like, well, sure, let's do it. So I just had some friends encourage me, and that's how I ended up kind of auditioning with the intent on, like, let's go for the leading lady. But I personally would have enjoyed being a nun, to be completely honest. They have a great time. So,
well, in the show, perhaps. don't know about real life.
I've talked to some nuns that have a really good time.
Oh, do they?
I will say that. Yeah, yeah.
Biggest challenge for you as an actress in this? You're playing two parts, but you're the same person. It's not like you change your personality from.
Yeah, her personality. It's not that her personality changes. It's that she just kind of has realizations toward the end that she's more than just this nightclub singer who's just kind of hit this one mark and that's it. She has dreams that she wants, but she also understands that there's love in the world too, and love can come from a lot of different places. And that's kind of where she gets it. She finds love in this really random place, this convent that she's kind of been forced into for the time being.
Does she ever slip up during the church service and say, oh, I'll be around all weekend?
Something like that.
tip your servers. No.
Yeah, she is who she is. Her personality is throughout the entire show, but it's cool to watch her grow and understand just kind of what it is to be a human and what it is to accept faith, even if she's not really rooted in that. So
okay, I would think, Guy, in a show like this, costuming would be a concern.
What are you talking about? The show's easy. Everyone just wears jeans and a t-shirt.
That's not true.
No, I'm kidding. We've been very lucky. We have a great costume designer. Her name's Jenny Connect. And we've also partnered with the Kansas City Costume Company, and we've rented the religious pieces from them. So the habits and some of the sparkly habits and trick costumes that you see will be from Stephen Carl out there in KC Costume. Big shout out to them. They've been great, great partners with us in this, and they've moved over by the stadiums in this brand new, beautiful facility, and I encourage everybody to get out there and see it. So Jenny's done a great job getting people to feel really, you know, attractive and excited in the 70s, and KC Costume's done a great job making people feel religious. And the costume they're gorgeous. Everything that Jenny's made is gorgeous. Everything we've had from Casey Costume is gorgeous. It's going to be a beautiful thing to just look at when it comes to clothing. So I'm really excited about that portion. And everyone knows me and how I don't really care about clothing in any way, shape, or form. I'm really excited. Every time I see something, I've never been a sparkly person before. I could not care less about it. But every time I get a little more excited. So we're going to start putting the costumes on here tonight, Monday night, and we'll see what it looks like.
You think you'll feel different, Allison?
I think so. I think every element we add helps the cast feel a little different. Like when we were learning music, it was like, okay, this is fun. And then when we started doing dancing with the music, it was one exhausting. But then it was like, all right, helping us come into character and just adding lines and then seeing the costumes. I think people really started, you know, when they started putting those headpieces on, they really started diving into their characters. And so even seeing some of the dresses, the glitz and the glamour, I think it's going to really help kind of put a little swank on it. So
many moons ago, I played a priest. The first comment would be the family and friends really had a good laugh. Secondly, you feel different.
Yes.
Just because it's the costume. Yes. You feel different. Even if you're not Catholic by your own faith.
Yeah.
You feel differently in those costumes.
Yeah. I think it just all helps with character building. And then kind of hopefully it goes a little bit past character building into just like really diving in for 2 hours and some change, and just that's who you are.
Special challenges, Guy, beyond the costuming, it's a musical. I assume you have yourself a musical director.
Yep, I've got James, who I've had at the barn here for a couple years, and he's done a great job putting together a great ensemble sound. I will tell you, I've seen a lot of musicals at the barn, and the very last note of this show is my absolute favorite thing I've ever heard. So I encourage everyone to come and hear that moment. Every one of our designers that was in our designer run last week, when they heard that note at the very end, their faces just changed, and I think the audiences will do the same. And it's going to be a very fitting final note for the final main stage show there at the barn. So
that's a good point, and I want to mention that. But first, I'd like to cover some of the songs.
Yeah,
people come to musicals, and the barn's the biggest successes that the barn has had, in my opinion, have been by the musicals that they've done.
Yeah,
that includes some many songs. People often don't connect the song with the show. I found that to be true. What are some of the numbers that you see?
Right up at the top of the show, we have just the opening number, which is Take Me to Heaven, which is a fun piece that you kind of see flourish throughout the entire show, and then Fabulous Baby. And so those are really Dolores and how she feels and who she is, at least towards the beginning of the show. And then as we go through the show, we see her in this beautiful number called Sister Act. It's the title piece, and it's just kind of her 180 really into who she's becoming as a woman who has these dreams, but has also just met and found so much compassion and love in this place that she's in. And so that's really, it's a beautiful piece. It's a very difficult piece. There's a lot of words in all the songs, but it's wonderful to grow in all these pieces throughout the show. So
yeah, you mentioned earlier that you wouldn't be able to see the musical director. And that's not something you'd done before.
That's something I've never done before. I'm used to at least seeing those arms rise out of the pit. Even the barn, I know, has done things differently with the pit in the past. It's usually a part of the stage, but not in the ground. But this time, they'll be in a completely different room, which will be a fun challenge. And I'll say a fun challenge instead of just a challenge.
You can't make it easy for you.
No, not at all.
There has to be challenges. I'm sure Guy has challenges as well. You're doing the choreography as well. So it's dancing nuns as well as singing nuns.
Yeah, that's been a very interesting, fun challenge, because with the nuns, with their long robes and in their full robe and habit, there's not a lot of footwork that can be done. And so it's all upper body and arms moving this way and heads going one way and arms, you know, it feels similar but looks different. And it's been a really fun challenge for myself and my associate choreographer, Laura. We had a ton of fun choreographing this show. And after our first day that we got together and talked about it, she looked at me and she's like, this is your wheelhouse. And I was like, this feels like my wheelhouse. This is, you know, this like 70s feel style music with a little groove. And every once in a while you feel a little rhythm and blues. It's like, this is 100% my type of music. So I've had a really fun time choreographing it. And I think the biggest choreography challenges are scenic pieces. This is the first time that I've put large scenic pieces on the stage that roll in and out. And because of that, we have the pit in a completely different room, usually at the barn. Most people know, or if you don't know, they're in the back, the most upstage part of the stage, and there's room for them backstage. But we are electronically piping them in from a different room in the building to allow for very gigantic set pieces. I mean, we've got a table that's 24 feet wide. We've got a choir loft that's 12 feet wide by 8 mm-hmm. feet long. Oh, sorry, flip that. 8 feet wide by 12 feet long. So that's been the biggest challenge. And, you know, this weekend we've really focused on making sure the scene changes feel like dances, which is something that people have complimented me on and something that I really pride myself on is the show moves. You start the show and you feel it choreographed all the way through. So that's for sure been the biggest challenge, choreographing the scenic changes.
Well, I'm going to assume then that once again, I've seen the barn contoured in various ways. Mm-hmm. I've seen the stage in various parts of the room.
Yeah.
Anything different on this occasion?
Nope. I've kept it pretty much the same that I've always do it. We've got a normal proscenium stage with the beautiful red curtain. We've got a little extension of the stage, and that's it. You'll see set pieces roll in and out. There's this beautiful surprise at one point, and then at the very end, there's the one. It's not a set piece, but it's something I've wanted to do at the barn ever since I got there, and I was told no. And since I got to do the final show, I decided to do it. So you'll see it's a very exciting surprise at the end. When you hear that beautiful last note, you get one extra little pop.
Ta-da.
Yeah. Okay. I'm really excited about that.
Sounds like you are.
Yeah.
Sounds like you are. Talk about whichever one of you, maybe Allison would want to, your fellow castmates. You can't do this alone.
I can't. I absolutely, and that is one thing I want people to remember. And I was so glad. I think it was about a week ago, Guy said to the cast, like, our leads are great, but this show is really about the nuns. And that's when I knew, like, I was so glad to be a part of this team, because when I was rehearsing my music, before we even started rehearsing together, I said to myself, I found myself tearing up when I was singing Sister Act, just because I was like, oh my, it really is good to be a nun. Like, these nuns, the show is really about them. And so I've really enjoyed working with them. I had heard so many great things about the Barn family, and now they've just, like, taken me in, and I'm part of this huge family of actors that have come before and that are soon to come. And so it's been great. The women and the men, they're fantastic and hilarious, and they're worth your time. They're wonderful. So.
Yeah, time is getting close. Show opens this Friday, the 3rd, at 7:30 p.m. Performances continue on Saturday, the 4th, both at 7:30 p.m. A Sunday afternoon matinee on the 5th at 2 o'clock p.m. And two more weekends after that. Thursday evening, Friday evening, Saturday evening, Sunday afternoon matinee also. Monday, the 13th of November, is a special performance. And that will be followed then by a third weekend of shows. Friday the 17th, Saturday evening the 18th, and Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock p.m. at the Barn Players at their present home in Mission, Kansas, 6219 Martway in Mission, Kansas. You can hop online and make your arrangement at thebarnplayers.org. There is a number to call. I'm always cautioned by the barn to say that no one mans this phone 24 hours a day. You can leave a message, but it's probably best to do things online as well. But if you have a special problem, a handicapped person is involved and you're going to need help at the time, it's all right to call. The number is 913-432-9100. That's the address and number of the Barn Players at their present home in Mission, Kansas. But that will change after the first of the year. I don't know how much Guy knows or knows much about, but the barn is moving for 60 years in Johnson County.
Yeah.
They're moving to Missouri.
Yeah, they're moving over. They've partnered with the Arts Asylum, which is an amazing place and company and just this hub of arts in downtown Kansas City, right east. It's on 1000 East 9th Street in KC Mo. And they've planned a really amazing first season to get everyone over there, so they know the Johnson County area and downtown Kansas City area are two completely different places. But the barn is taking their talent and their professionalism in community theater, taking it across the state line and bringing it to downtown Kansas City with the Arts Asylum. They've got a great partnership there. They've got a great great season lined up. I'm honored to be directing one of them that are over there. I get to wait a year, so I get to take a little break after Sister Act. But the season includes the musical Chicago, the musical Urinetown, and the musical The Bridges of Madison County, and then Rock of Ages, which is the one that I'm doing next fall because, you know, fluff. And a great play, Torch Song Trilogy, will be in the summertime there. So, you know, the Barn was looking for a home, and they found a great place to go. And I've worked at the Arts Asylum a few times. I've been able to go there and meet with Courtney and Corey, who kind of run the place. And I encourage every single person to come out and see every show, because it's new, it's different, it's exciting. It's not a bad thing in any way. It's a great step for the Barn. The stage is different. All the directors got to go there the other day that are directing in 2018 and kind of see the stage and walk around. And I was looking at it, and for the first time in a really long time with the Barn, I was able to picture something 100% different. And then I went back to my team and said, who was interested in a 3-story set? And my whole team was like, no, thank you. But we'll see what happens in the fall of 2018. But it's a great thing. The place we're at now is going to be really sad to leave. I've only been there since 2010, so I can't even imagine how everyone else has felt that's been there since they moved over to the Martway location first. But it's just, you know, it's not the closing of a book. It's just starting a new chapter. And sometimes when you read a book, a chapter is sad when it ends, but then you start a new one and you get really excited for the character. And if the Barn's the character in the story, I'm really excited to see where it goes. So
Barn's always been very nomadic. They've been around a long time. Actually, it did start in a barn.
Yeah.
And I was shown the barn on one occasion years ago. It was still there then. Moved on then to Johnson County Community College, where they had many happy years. But then when that time ended, it was rather nomadic for the barn. A lot of churches, a lot of schools, a lot of temporary homes. And they were so fortunate then to come in this place in Mission, where they've been for some time now.
Yeah.
Now that chapter has come to an end, and they're moving on to a different locale. It's always so traumatic for a community theater. I've often said that a good place, the theaters that have a good home, a good place, are the most lucky of all, the most stable. This constantly having to move for somewhere, that can be a problem sometimes. But they now have a new home at the Arts Asylum on the Missouri side, 1000
East 9th Street.
East 9th Street, that's where it is. And of course, we'll do interviews for those shows as they come along, and we'll get you headed in the right direction to see that. The show is called Sister Act. It is directed by Guy Gardner, one of my guests. Also with us, Allison Jones, plays the role of Dolores Van Cartier, and also Sister Mary Clarence in the show, and she giggles as she said that.
It's funny.
It's fun and funny at the same time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. This is for sure a comedy. This is going to be... and I don't think I've never not done something that had a lot of comedy in it. But, man, I find myself laughing a lot in this show. And so does the cast on stage. So I'm excited to have an audience this week so we can finally have other people laugh with it, too. Because some of the stuff that these writers wrote is just genius. Some of the nun lines are the funniest I've ever read. Some of the things Dolores says are hilarious, but the way Allison delivers them and the facial features that she has when she makes these lines. I mean, there's one that I just gave her a note last week that was like, every time you say this line, the way your face is what makes it so funny that I'm just like throwing my paper down. I'm a pretty dramatic laugher, and I'll slam my notes down onto my lap. And so
years ago, I got to interview Danny Goggin, who originated the Nonsense series.
Yeah.
And he told me that he based a lot of that on some of the sisters he had growing up. Mm. Is there any indication of this author? Why did he use that particular setting?
You know, I'm not sure. I haven't researched too much into the original story motion picture writing. So I know that the story of this one is based off the movie, but I do want to point out that that people coming expecting to hear the same music aren't going to hear that music. They're going to hear new music, and it was written by Alan Menken, so it's really good music. But those that want to hear those Sister Act songs, I mean, my music director and I, we grew up listening to that Sister Act soundtrack on repeat all the time, and I'm sure Allison did too. And We're going to play those. You're going to hear those before the show and maybe during intermission. But in the show itself, you're going to be introduced to some new music that's beautiful, beautiful music. And that makes you laugh, too, and makes the nuns, you know, shake their booties.
Yeah. Well, when I talked to Danny Goggin that time, he assured me, and I'm going to use the same assurance for the audience on this occasion, while we're having fun with the nuns, we are not doing anything that defames any of the nuns at all. So no one need worry about that sort of thing.
No, not at all. And I have an uncle who's a Catholic priest and was raised Catholic. And I can tell you that nothing defames anything. It's all in good fun. It's not as satirical as the Book of Mormon is with the Mormon religion, but you just fall in love with the nuns. There's nothing about it. Just like in Mormon, you fall in love with the Mormon boys, and this one, you fall in love with this group of nuns, and by the end of it, you just are so happy for them.
The show is called Sister Act. It opens again this Friday, November 3rd, 7:30 p.m., 3 weekend performances at the Barnes present location, 6219 Martway in Mission, Kansas. If you MapQuest things, you need that zip code 66202. You can go online to make your arrangements at thebarnplayers.org. And if you have special considerations, special questions you'd like someone to get back to you on, the number to call is 913-432-9100. I want to thank both of you for coming.
Thank you very much. You.
Guy Gardner, the director and choreographer of Sister Act, which opens, of course, this Friday, November 3rd, and Allison Jones, who plays the dual roles of Dolores Van Cartier and Sister Mary Clarence, the singing and dancing nuns. No flying, but singing and dancing.
That's right.
In Sister Act. Oh, well.
No flying. Maybe flying in a different sense, but not flying in the air.
I don't know if they fly in, have flying buttresses at the barn or not. Not this location, anyway.
Not here.
Thanks so much for being with us. When we return after this break, we're going to talk about a mystery, which is going out on in Independence. When we return, you're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM. And welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. We're going to journey back, I always say this, to the land where I was raised, Independence, Missouri. And the City Theater of Independence is going to present Wait Until Dark, kind of a mystery with some comic moments in it. Here to tell us all about it, the director and some of the cast of the show, Nino Cassisi, is with us once again. The director who has probably talked as many times on the show as any other director in town.
I don't know. I think it's probably right around 20, 25 by now.
It's probably getting up there. Yeah. Nino has directed all over. He has come on the program when he has worked in Leavenworth, when he has worked at, well, you name the place.
Leavenworth, Olathe, Blue Springs, Excelsior Springs, but I've done Parkville, St. Joseph, Mission. I've pretty much been everywhere.
Yeah, I was thinking before, I said, Nino, as an actor.
That dates back to the 90s,
Back to the 90s. So you prefer directing?
Yeah, I love directing. Yeah.
Why Wait Until Dark? Why was that one that you wanted to do?
Wait Until Dark is actually one of my favorite thrillers because it's a small cast. The audience knows exactly what's going on, but the cast kind of doesn't. It kind of leaves you in the dark, to coin a phrase. The show itself is just very well written. It's chilling. It's suspenseful. It'll make you jump from your seat. That's pretty much all I can say.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll see if that happens.
I'm hoping. The goal.
Joe Caronia is with us. He plays the role of Rote in the show. Are you a bad guy?
Yes, I am. I'm the bad guy, and I'm the, I guess you'd say, the leader of two others. And I'm pretty much in this show, you would say, the king of the double cross.
Ah, so you can't be trusted.
I cannot be trusted. So that's as nice as you could put it.
You have a career in politics, do you?
It's possible. I mean, the way we're going now, anything's possible.
That's right.
So I don't know. But no, I do have to say, you talked about this. This is the third time that I have played this role. And my sister, talk about it, my sister actually did scream the first time she saw it. And I go, you saw the movie. You knew it was going to happen. yeah, but I wasn't expecting it like that. And there's a lot of moments like that. So even if you are familiar with the story, it's every time is different, and it's something to see. I'm very, very proud of this production.
Tell the audience some of the other productions you've been in at theaters around the area or beyond.
I did Moon Over Buffalo. That was a lot of fun. Of course, my favorite role was Soodless, and A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, because that's the perfect role for a stand-up comic to do, and that's where I got my start in this crazy business. And also, we were just talking about it before we went on the air, Tony and Tina's Wedding was my very first play.
I remember that one. Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
I remember that. Here locally in Westport, you did that version?
No, we were up the street from the Peanut. What is that? Like 50th and Main? Was it the old Waldorf? Or was it old Tiffany's Attic?
I think it was Tiffany's or Waldo, right there.
Right there, yeah.
Okay.
He was in the first cast of Tony and Tina's. I was in the second cast of Tony and Tina's.
Okay. I remember seeing it somewhere on Broadway. I remember walking down the street seeing playwright Ron Simone playing the character he did, lecturing some people outside.
Yeah, he was in the cast.
Smoozing up to people.
Yeah, he was in the second cast with me.
Yeah. Okay, well, glad to have you here. Want to ask you about stand-up comedy later on if we have time.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I'll be happy to.
Juana Louise is with us as well.
Hello.
Nice to come. Lean towards the mic if you
want. All right. Can you hear me now?
She has a soft, just like the phone commercials on TV. I can hear you now. You play the role of Susie in the show. Is Susie a much beleaguered character in the show?
I think she's pretty clever.
She's clever.
Yes, she's very clever. She's very sweet. She's also blind. So she has a slight disadvantage against these three hoodlums who come into her life. So, it's been fun. It's been very interesting. It's a challenging role for me.
Were you encouraged by your director not to see the Audrey Hepburn movie?
Actually, no. He finally told me to watch the movie later on because I'm not blind enough.
It was Audrey Hepburn, wasn't it?
It was. Yes, it was.
So, but I've seen it. I've seen parts of it, but I believe the movie doesn't do the script any justice. I really do. I really like the script. It adds a lot of detail. It's challenging for me because there is so much detail, but at the same time, I would prefer to see the stage version over the movie any day.
I'd like to hear Nino's analysis of this. I'm undoubtedly very familiar with both.
Well, the movie itself has breakaways, of course. You can go from scene to scene. This, you do not have a breakaway at all. You are witnessing everything firsthand. And the reason I like it is you don't know what's going to happen. Audience sees what's going on, but Susie has no clue what's going on because she's visually impaired and she's running into things. And the audience is like, don't go over there. Well, she doesn't know, so she does that. And I think that's what brings the element of surprise to the audience is just the fact that she doesn't know what's going on, so they're her eyes until later in the show when the whole stage is thrust into complete darkness, and then nobody can see.
That's right.
Nobody.
That kind of evens things out, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. It gives you that total element of surprise, and I love that.
Was your cast familiar with the other versions of the show, or did you have the advantage of molding it the way you wanted?
I kind of molded it. The only one who I didn't get to fool was Joe, who's done the show 400 times. But he brings an element. I actually directed him to do other things. He's like, nah, that's not the way we did it. I'm like, well, this is the way you're going to do it. And it's such a way. But anyway, the bottom line is it's a different version than what he just did. He did it back in a month ago.
Yeah.
So it's a totally different version. You know, we have different blocking, different characters all together, but it's the same show. It's really weird.
As best as we could, one of you, whichever one would like to, the basic storyline of why she is where she is and why they might be coming after her, without, of course, giving away anything critical. That's asking a lot of you, I guess.
Well, Susie lost her sight about a year and a half ago, and she met her husband. And her husband goes to Canada a lot, and he ends up with a doll. So people are searching for this doll. And Sam goes out of town, and these three men step in. So basically that's how it starts, is these men are there. They're searching for the doll, and they will do anything to get it. So I'm trying not to give pinpoints away. You guys add to it.
Oh, and that's a difficult question to answer. It's sort of like the manager going out to the mound and saying to the pitcher, don't walk him, but don't give him anything good to hit.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. Has she been blind a long time, or is this a new thing for her?
This is relatively a new thing for her, probably about a year and a half.
Yeah. Does it ruin the story to say what happened to her?
Actually, I am so glad you brought that up, because Nino had us do this like little character development thing, and I decided that she lost her, well, it says that she lost it in an automobile accident. So I've known people who have had head traumas, and from there, they have actually lost their sight. Mm-hmm. So I imagine that's what happened to her. She somehow hit her head, and she has lost her vision.
So not only is she in the relatively new sense of adjusting to this, she has to deal with this situation as well.
Yes, and it's very stressful.
I'll bet. So, Joe, the perspective of your character, you're after this doll, I guess?
Yes, I'm after the doll. I'm one of the guys who is... has kind of, everybody ends up working for my character by hook or by crook. And the doll is important, that we want the doll, but, and there's a lot of money involved, and it's set in 67, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the amount of money today would be a lot of money, but back in 67, it was a huge amount of money. And it's just a, it's almost like a psychology experiment,
mm-hmm.
because what will you do, and these guys are con men, and it's what will they do to make this happen, and how much duress will they put on someone who is visually impaired?
Yeah, well, they don't have to worry about being identified by sight, perhaps by voice. Without giving anything away, what is she thinking while some of this is happening?
Oh, my goodness. there's a point where Rote comes in as an older version of Rote Sr., and he takes her by surprise, basically, and then later on, he comes back as Rote Jr., so she hears things like shoes and how new they are, or if they squeak, or she definitely... I feel that she definitely senses how each and every person, I guess, has, I guess, an aura. I don't know. Just their energy. So she definitely knows that things are afoot, things are amiss, and then she starts putting pieces of the puzzle together.
In a sense, she goes by the other senses.
Yes,
I guess that goes
definitely.
Without saying. But they say we all have a scent, whether we realize it or not, whether we've showered or not.
Right.
They say we all
right.
do. In any case, and she would pick up on little things like that.
Yes, she would.
Like the squeaking of the shoes, things like that.
Yeah, it's like her other senses are heightened beyond the sense of sight.
Yeah, and that plays, I would imagine, an important aspect of the show as well.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about who all else is in the show with you.
Well, we also have Khalid Johnson, who plays Sam, Susie's husband. We also have Drew Jones, who plays Mike Tallman, one of the other bad guys. Eli Biesmeyer, who plays Sergeant Carlino, another one of the bad guys. And Caroline Jackson, rather, who plays Gloria, the upstairs little 12-year-old girl, who kind of hinders on Susie's life a little bit.
Well, that's not as big a cast as you usually.
No, I usually have like 25 or 30
that's
in the
right.
cast. This is a smaller cast, and I really, really enjoy working with small casts because you kind of get more personal and intimate with the acting.
In other shows you've done, you've had a big stage, a big set. Sounds like more small, more intimate.
Set's kind of big though.
Yeah,
so it's a two-story and a half.
Okay. There
it's it's a basement apartment, circa 1967 Greenwich Village. So, yeah, we're creating a lot of. 60s, if you will.
Are you going to attempt to? Well, I probably shouldn't even ask. Well, I'm nosy. I'm going to. Do you want them to act during the blackout scenes in rehearsal, just like it will be?
We will be. Right now, they need to get used to where the furniture is.
Okay.
And there's stuff all over the floor. So, yeah, I'm afraid they're going to get hurt. But the scenes that we've blocked for the ending, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're all over the place. And in the dark, it's going to be a whole new world.
What are you making any changes to the theater setting at the Sermon Center?
Yeah, I don't want to give too much away, okay. But yeah, we're taking it to a whole new level with this version. So I'm very excited.
You will open this Thursday, November 2nd at 7:30 p.m. So in this particular show, there is a Thursday evening, a Friday evening, and a Saturday evening the first weekend. The second weekend is a Friday evening, Saturday evening, Sunday afternoon matinee at 2 o'clock p.m. City Theater of Independence, the Powerhouse Theater, I should say. It's located at 201 North Dodgen, essentially the intersection of Truman and Nolan Roads in Independence. The number to call for more information, 816-325-7370, or online at citytheaterofindependence.org. Part of the season. How deep are you into the season?
Second show.
Yeah. Do you want to mention what's coming up, if you can recall at the moment?
Yeah. The first show was Harvey, which closed. We're doing, of course, Wait Until Dark. The next one is A Glass Menagerie by Tennessee Williams. Then we're doing A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, Stephen Sondheim. And then the last one is called The Kitchen Witches, which I'm really not familiar with.
I'm not either. Sounds interesting, though.
Yeah.
It sounds like a lot of perhaps skullduggery going on.
Yeah.
Never know, though. Oftentimes, you know, things go amiss. Not that they will in this show. I'm sure everything will run perfectly, especially with the experience you have doing the show.
Right.
But it's always helpful to have a background to think on your feet. And you have such a background in doing stand-up comedy. You're used to unusual reactions and things happening that are unexpected.
Well, it's funny because, you know, obviously as a comic, you love the sound of laughter. But in doing this show, when you hear the absolute utter silence of a scared audience, it's much more satisfying. Because it's a stillness that you just don't find in a theater. And when there's so many things that happen in this show that are literally take your breath away moments, that I've told the actors, I go, you're going to hear a stillness that you've never heard before, and there are a couple of times that you hear the nervous laughter. It's very funny because it's, yes, you know, you want to stay in the moment as an actor, but it's an also, oh, yeah, we got him. Now, you know, I do want to say one thing, though. You talked about this being a small cast, and it is, but so many of us kind of play different characters. So that is something that Nino's had to make sure that there's a difference between character A and character B, even though it is the same character.
Well, so, just sort of let drop the fact that you're yourself as an older person, younger person.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I play myself. I play my father. I am a voice on the phone that is totally different. And even when I come into the apartment the first time, I'm a different person as well. So I try to make the different distinguish from one to the other.
As a stand-up comedian, can you think of who did you work with?
I worked all over. I traveled all over the country. My biggest credits are working with Billy Crystal.
Wow.
I opened for David Brenner, which was a great thrill for me. Joe Piscopo, and from my family, the coolest I'll ever be in my daughter's eyes was I opened for Dave Coulier, who is Uncle Joey from Full House.
Sure,
and
sure.
Brought her backstage to meet him, and, you know.
And as we learned on the show about a month ago, actually one of the people in the Carly Simon song, You're So Vain, she said it was she finally admitted that the song was about several different men put together, and one of the names she dropped was Coulier, as a matter of fact. So there you go.
That's interesting.
I don't know that.
Did he say, hey, what are those guys?
Well, you know, he did talk about that he was with Alanis Morissette, and she might have had some issues, let's just say. And that's about all I could say about that right now.
Piscopo seems like a fun guy.
Piscopo, it was a very interesting show. Not so much stand-up. He sang and danced and played the drums, but it was a very entertaining show.
If he does something like that, which perhaps maybe different from what you do. Do you, if you would do a song in your show, do you drop it if the headliner does something like that? Are there kind of unwritten rules to that?
No, well, I would.
You just
I would never sing.
I don't say that.
Oh, no.
You're so vain.
Trust me, I would never sing.
Well, Crystal, for instance, does a lot of imitations. I would assume that his stage act would be much the same.
Yeah, he can play a lot of different characters.
He does Cosell, he does Ali, just to name a few.
Yeah.
Several of the presidents he does. I'm just trying to grasp. But he does a number of characters. Do you do characters, or are you strictly a line guy?
I'll do a few characters. I always...
A few?
I know, right?
I always laugh because I started out doing imitations. That's all I ever did. And then one time I had a really bad cold, and everybody in my act had a really bad cold, and it sounded terrible. And I go, I probably need to write some jokes, too.
Do you ever do that around here? Maybe for charity or something like that?
Yeah, I've done I'm a cancer survivor, so I do a lot of speaking with those folks. And I will say, back to Wait Until Dark, I have to tell you, one of the fun things is, yes, it's a very serious show, and it's very scary, but we do have an awful lot of fun at rehearsal. And we kind of have a saying that says, you don't have to be crazy to be in this cast, but it helps.
I'll ask Wanda Louise that as well. Tell us about some of your background. I really didn't cover that with you earlier.
Actually, I did theater a long time ago. I did melodramas, and I did a few productions with Fairbase Productions in Riverside. And then I went off to learn how to professional wrestle.
Really? Now,
yes.
Here we go. Well, you have fun. What was your wrestling name?
Full of surprises.
Wrestling name Wanda Louise?
Actually, Wanda Louise is my stage name. My name for the ring was Wonderful Wendy.
Wow.
So I am pretty sure that was a tongue twister for the announcer. I also announce at a professional wrestling event now. So for New Breed Wrestling, still down in Eldon, Missouri.
Eldon, Missouri.
So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I still see a bunch of the guys that I got to train with and that mentored me as best they could. I think that wrestling taught me to trust in my ability, in my physical self. I was not an avid sports player. I would go and watch the sports, but I wasn't very physical. And I think wrestling really helped me see that I could go in there and do things. Maybe not well, but I did them and I survived. And now I'm not afraid to fall down, and I'm not afraid to hit a wall. As you know, if it calls,
which
for
is a
it.
Good thing in this show.
I can see where it might be. Did you have special training on learning how to fall?
For this production, no.
Well, no.
I just threw her into the ring on this one.
Oh yes, I trained with Harley Race.
Oh, well, I remember him.
Yeah. So, and he's his son still. Now runs the school, and I think they're in Troy, Missouri. When I went, I was down in Eldon, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
So it holds a very special place in my heart. I was a big wrestling fan anyway. I loved wrestling.
Don't put a chokehold on me now, but it's real, right? Don't disappoint me.
Oh, sure. No, I mean, if it's... I can't remember who said it. So many men have said it. It's a violent ballet. That's what they call it, a violent ballet.
Interesting way to put it. It really has grown in recent years, hasn't it? It's become very big.
It has. But I really love the independent shows. And I think the reason why I love the independent shows is that the fans can walk up to the table and they can meet the guys or the ladies, you know, and they can shake their hands. And if they buy a T-shirt, they can have it signed right then and there. I mean, it's so... I don't know, interactive, and I love that about the independents. And it's so good now because I think Kansas City has two promotions. One is larger than the other. I think it's KCXW and NWL. But I know a lot of people a lot of men and women who are in these organizations. And it's just wonderful to see Kansas City blossom again in the wrestling world. Because I know that in Kansas City, Kansas, way back in the 70s, it was huge.
And they do a lot of acting, which brings us back to your role.
Which brings it
gives you a chance.
Yeah.
In reality, you could probably take these guys easy.
Yeah. Not really.
Yeah. No, she could.
Yeah.
Show us Wait Until Dark. The play we're supposed to be talking about is Wait Until Dark. It opens this Thursday, November 2nd, 7:30 p.m. at the City Theater of Independence. That's the Sermon Center, a powerhouse theater, they call it, located at 201 North Dodge in Independence, essentially the intersection of Truman and Nolan Road in Independence. The number to call for more information, 816-235-7370, and of course online. You can make your arrangements online as well, as I understand it. citytheaterofindependence.org. What an interesting group you brought with you today, Neil.
Yes, yes. And just to piggyback off what Wanda said, I ran with it when I found out that she wrestled. So that ending is way over the top, but everybody who's involved is doing an awesome job with it. Nobody's gotten hurt yet. A couple bruises.
Sounds like it ought to be a lot of fun. I want to thank all of you for coming and telling us all about Wait Until Dark. Nino Cassisi, the director of many times. How many shows have you directed over the years?
This is number 53 for me.
53. Wow.
Yeah.
Joe Caro.
Caronia.
Caronia. Caronia. Sorry about that, Joe. Don't throw me down there. Who plays the role of
Monica. I'm not the wrestler.
And Wanda Louise, who plays the role of Susie in the City Theater of Independence production of Wait Until Dark, opens this Thursday the 2nd. Performances then Friday the 3rd, Saturday the 4th, all evening performances. Then a second weekend of shows Friday the 10th, Saturday the 11th, 7:30 curtains on both of those, and ends with a Sunday afternoon matinee on the 12th at 2 o'clock p.m. I wonder if the daytime shows are different than the evening shows. We'll see how that works. Consider going on the last show. Thank you so much for being with us. The Jazz Insider is with us next. He'll be playing some fine Kansas City jazz up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Then the blues for the afternoon. Famous Kansas City blues. Blues from 3 to 6 p.m. tonight right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that crossing the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.